The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Brian Lloyd, movies editor, entertainment.ie, is with us. Daniel Day-Lewis has retired previously, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He quit, well, I say quit. He retired for about 5 years between Jim Sheridan's The Boxer and Martin Scorsese's Gangs of New York. And he lived in Venice making men's shoes. Yeah, that's not a lie. That's really what he did. And he wasn't preparing for a role. He just kind of left everything for about 5 years and then he came back for Martin Scorsese. So while he says he's retired, I don't know if I believe him. I think that, like, we'll probably hear from him again in about, maybe, I don't know, 10 years maybe.
Well, that's it. He should be 70. He's 60 now. And I suppose he's going to have to do some promotional stuff as well for his last movie, which is due out at the end of this year.
Yeah, The Phantom Thread. And he's doing that with Paul Thomas Anderson, who directed There Will Be Blood. And to be honest as well, that puts a huge amount of pressure on the film as well, because if this is going to be Daniel Day-Lewis's last film, like, he really does have to go out on a high. But having said that, though, I mean, he only makes about 2-3 films every decade, so.
But they tend to be brilliant.
But, oh, completely, yeah, this is it. Like, he is one of those actors that doesn't, you know, he doesn't sign on to anything and he doesn't give it anything less than 100%. And to be fair as well, I mean, I suppose when, you know, one of his heroes is Robert De Niro. And you look at what Robert De Niro is doing now, like, it's in Dirty Grandpa and stuff like these, and these terrible comedies.
That Daniel Day-Lewis has never done anything like that.
He will, and he never will. So, I mean,
maybe, no, because he's retired.
Because he's retired, yeah. But, like, unless he comes back in about 15 years for, I don't know, Dirty Grandpa 2 or something. But I doubt it.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of a clip of Daniel Day-Lewis talking to Michael Parkinson on this sort of method acting that he does, how he inhabits his roles.
I never probably did a day's work in my life. I play. That's what I do, you know, when I go to work, I go to play. I play a game and that's what it is. And I see it as a game and I think most of the people I work with see it as a game, even if it sometimes drives you half round the twist playing it. Well, you know, that game involves the power of self-delusion. I mean, like, I suppose at the centre of it, I have to try and kid myself that I'm living a life that isn't mine.
Right.
Because if I can't do that, there's no hope I'm going to kid anybody else.
The question then is that, I mean, what's the price you pay for that? I mean, how long does it inhabit you afterwards?
Well, I don't think it's... I think it's almost the other way around. It's almost that you just... You know, you unleash a curiosity for something, a whole way of life, and I generally... I mean, the thing that I've been least interested about myself, I suppose, in my life, is the fact that I'm a middle-class Englishman. So I've tended to be fascinated by lives that appear mysterious to me and exotic in some way, and I've always been drawn towards those.
Yes.
Of course, spent a lot of time in Ireland. I think he's an honorary Irishman as well, isn't he?
Yeah, doesn't he live down in Wicklow? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He spends a lot of time of the year.
Not all the time, but he spends some time of the year there. I think not as much in recent years as he used to. Okay, let's pick his five best movies. Your number five choice is The Crucible. So let's just hear a little bit of how he plays the role of John Proctor.
Is there no good penitence but it be public? God does not need my name nailed to the church. God knows how black my sins are.
Now look, you Proctor.
How may I teach my sons to walk like men in the world, and I sold my friends?
You have not sold your...
I blacken all of them when I nail this to the church, and they have hanged for silence.
I must have good and legal proof that you have confessed to witchcraft, Proctor.
You are the High Court. Your word is good enough. Tell them Proctor broke to his knees and wept like a woman. My name I cannot sign.
Why? Do you mean to deny this confession when you are free?
I mean to deny nothing.
Then explain to me why you will
because
not...
Because it is my name! Because I cannot have another in my life! Because I lie and sign myself to lies!
Apparently that got him the nickname of Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, and I know that is kind of a bit of a derisive kind of nickname or whatever, but I don't think there's any actor out there that can be completely vulnerable and just really lay himself bare, you know, and you hear that, like, and he's reaching out, like, you know, that sort of way. And even in that scene as well, I know you heard the clip, but if you actually watch that scene back, you know, his face is all beaten up, his teeth are all black, he's just completely broken down. And, you know, that was a really, it's a really, really powerful performance, and it's something that I don't think people kind of catch anymore, you know.
Of course, The Crucible, of course, was written by Arthur Miller, the late Arthur Miller, who would have been his father-in-law.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, he's married to Rebecca Miller as well. And of course, that was about, you know, that was really sort of a a metaphor for, you know, the HUAC trial and McCarthyism and all that. But it's just, it's such a brilliant film, and it's so well done, and his performance in it is incredible, I think.
Your number four choice is one of the great Irish movies.
Yeah, My Left Foot, yeah, he was playing Christy Brown, and I mean, this was kind of the role that kind of broke him into the mainstream, and you only need to look at, I mean, literally any scene in the film just to see how far he pushed himself. And, you know, famously, he stayed in character between the setups, and he had the stagehands and runners carry him into the next scene because he wanted to, because they apparently were kind of getting angry with him and stuff like that, and he wanted to get that sense of resentment and bitterness that he got from people, you know, that sort of, he wanted to experience what Christy Brown was experiencing. And it even took like a physical toll on him as well. Apparently he had some, I think he cracked a rib or he did something on the set, but
did he win the Oscar for that, for best
actor?
Yeah.
That was his first Oscar, yeah. And like I say, it's absolutely all there in the screen why he won it, you know.
Okay, then you mentioned his comeback movie, which is your number three choice. Before we hear a clip from it, just tell us a little bit about Gangs of New York.
Yeah, this was Martin Scorsese, and he was playing a character called Bill the Butcher, who was this like arch racist who hated all Irish people, which is, I say, kind of funny that he lives in Wicklow. But it was a really, again, it was another one of these like really physical roles. You had the big mustache.
It's the most violent of movies.
Oh, it's violent, yeah. It's so violent. And like Daniel Day-Lewis, like again, he's so physical in the role. Like he's throwing these knives all over the place and he's cursing and shouting. And there's that great scene with Brendan Gleeson where he like knifes him in the back. So yeah, it's pretty intense.
Okay, let's hear a little clip. Well, this clip is when he's the part of Bill the Butcher recalls to Amsterdam, Leonardo DiCaprio, the finest beating that he ever took from Priest Valon, who was played by Liam Neeson, and what he did afterwards.
The priest and me, we lived by the same principles. It was only faith divided us. He gave me this, you know. That was the finest beating I ever took. My face was pulp. My guts was pierced, my ribs was all mashed up. And when he came to finish me, I couldn't look him in the eye. He spared me because he wanted me to live in shame. This was a great man, a great man. So I cut out the eye that looked away, sent it to him wrapped in blue paper. I would have cut them both out if I could afford him blind. And I rose back up again with a full heart and buried him in his own blood.
Well done.
He was the only man I ever killed worth remembering.
Okay, spoiler alert here, but I suppose that scene, there was an important twist in that, wasn't there?
Yeah, afterwards I think it's he's talking about Priest Fallon is actually Leonardo DiCaprio's father. And it's interesting because the way they do in that scene, you're kind of wondering whether or not Daniel Day-Lewis actually knows that that's if they're father and son. And so it's kind of an interesting scene, yeah.
Okay, your number two choice is again another Irish movie and again another great Jim Sheridan directed movie,
yeah.
In the Name of the Father.
Yeah, and this was the film that I think really kind of secured him as one of the best actors of our generation. He was playing Jerry Connell alongside the sadly departed Pete Postlethwaite. But again, it was that whole thing of like a very physical role. He really kind of got into it. He got the accent down perfect. And he also really kind of captured, again, this whole thing of vulnerability, you know, that sort of way about this man who's just, you know, being broken down by the system that is just, has nothing left, but has to build himself back up again, you know? And the chemistry that he had with Pete Postlethwaite, I mean, it's so natural. You really would believe that the two of them were father and son.
Okay. Some of the comments coming in from listeners. I love Daniel Day-Lewis, but Gangs of New York is pantomime acting.
It is a bit over
movie.
The top. Yeah, it is over the top. That's a fair criticism.
That's from Paul Ruddle. Neil says, not every actor has a light railway named after him.
Yeah,
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Maybe he's method acting in an act for an actor who's retired.
I've heard that joke.
Yes, indeed. Now, before our number one choice, you didn't go for Lincoln.
No. I thought Lincoln was a bit, I don't know, I mean, I know it was Steven Spielberg, but I think there is something a bit very, very hokey and earnest about that film, and even the way he kind of plays it as well is a bit, it's a little bit creaky. It's definitely not one of his best performances. He is good in it, but it is definitely not one of his best performances.
You didn't go for The Boxer?
No, I thought The Boxer was a bit kind of, I think that was a kind of a bit of one of his lesser films, you know, that sort of way. But again, like, it's a grand film, but it's one of his lesser films, definitely.
You have gone for, and Mick says, There Will Be Blood was overacted rubbish. I loved There Will Be Blood. This is the scene in which Daniel Plainview talks to his brother Henry about his ambition, which is ultimately to make enough money and to be left alone.
Well, if it's in me, it's in you. There are times when I
I look at people and I see nothing worth liking. I want to earn enough money I can get away from everyone.
What will you do about your boy?
I don't know. Maybe it'll change. Has your sound come back to you? I don't know. Maybe no one knows that. Doctor might not know that.
Where's his mother?
I don't want to talk about those things. I see the worst in people, Henry. I don't need to look past seeing them to get all I need. I've built up my hatreds over the years, little by little. Having you here gives me a second breath. I can't keep doing this on my own. With these people.
The opening scene, he's prospecting and he gets injured. It reminds me in some respects of My Left Foot.
Yeah.
The physical demands that there must have been and what is absolutely stunning opening scene.
Yeah.
And I still enjoy the rest of the movie, even if the ending, without giving it away from the same scene, is slightly odd.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's kind of, and even like the final line in the film is, I'm done. You know, it's just done in such a weird way. But like, I mean, that's Paul Thomas Anderson for you. Like, he is known for having these kind of little quirky flourishes to the film. But and I mean, like, that comment there that he said, you know, he was overacting. I mean, I think that scene is really underplayed, but it's absolutely terrifying, you know, that sort of way. Like, if you ever wanted, like, a textbook misanthrope, it's that scene. Because, you know, throughout the film, he comes across as, you know, being a bit curt with people and a bit angry and a bit distrustful. But here, when he's talking to his brother, he opens up and he's just completely black, you know?
I agree with you. Number one, Charles, is great. And the listener says, Lincoln was like watching an incredibly long, boring council meeting. I fell asleep during a dreadful film, says the listener. Thank you very much, Brian Lloyd, movies editor at entertainment.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.